Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Tens of thousands of Somalis have been fleeing to Ethiopia and Kenya, escaping the worst drought in 20 years. 80% of them are women and children. And inside Somalia, many more than that are displaced because of a combination of both a lengthy civil war and, again, drought and famine. The BBC's East Africa correspondent Will Ross has been to the capital, Mogadishu, and also visited nearby Badabo camp, where tens of thousands of people have fled in recent weeks.
I'm traveling in an armored vehicle with machine guns on top, and next to me some Burundian soldiers from the African Union peacekeeping force. We're on our way to a camp for people displaced, mainly because of the drought. They've headed to Mogadishu from some of the areas towards the south. They've come here in the hope that they're going to get some food.
The armoured convoy stops occasionally as security threats are assessed. This is a city at war, with al-Qaeda-linked rebels trying to seize power. There are also deep clan divisions and plenty of guns on the streets.
Now, I've now just arrived at Badbado camp. This is a camp for displaced people set up about 9 or 10 days ago, already home to more than 20,000 people. And it's protected by pro-government troops, and there's a Land Cruiser vehicle with a machine gun on the back of it that's just parked outside, and three people sitting in the back, one of whom looks to be about 14-15 years old.
13 years old.
Inside the camp are thousands of people who've trekked from far-flung villages to reach Mogadishu to get food. Despite the dangers in Mogadishu, they've got little option. Ismail Mohammed Ibrahim is 70 years old. He's blind and is being helped along the food queue by a soldier. Ismail tells me he walked for a week to reach Mogadishu. He abandoned his village in Lower Shabelle, one of the regions where the UN has declared a famine. You get a sense of the depth of this crisis at the camp's small therapeutic feeding centre, where mothers are queuing up, many cradling severely malnourished babies. There I met Noor Ali. He works for the United Nations Children's Fund.
The family have been working so long. They are coming like the last stage of malnutrition. Our product may not help that child because of their severely malnourished children.
So sometimes they get here too late.
Yeah, they reach here too late.
Safia Ali Noor sits with her twins, who both need help urgently. She says with the drought there was no water and no food at home. They decided to abandon the village and come to a camp in Mogadishu. She caught a lift on the back of a truck.
And how old are the children in front of us here? The young one you're holding in your arms is a very, very tiny baby.
The child is 12 months old.
12 months?
Yeah.
And he looks about, what, 3 months at most?
Yes. So they are twins. This is Nasir, yes. And this is Abshir.
And they're 12 months old. And they're just being given some plumpy nut, which is a...
Yeah, it's made of peanuts, and it is for the treatment of severe acute malnutrition. Yeah.
And right next to some completely shelled-out buildings with just the balustrades and the outer walls left, people have set up home here with twigs and bits of cloth. Some have tarpaulins from the UN. There's a woman in front of me that's just cleaning the front of the entrance to the house using a small shoe, and she's just pushing away the sand. A humble home, but she's still keeping the front of it clean.
As Mogadishu's not a safe place, helping the tens of thousands displaced by war and now growing famine is going to be a great challenge. But the harder task will be getting food to the famine-hit southern regions, where the al-Qaeda-linked rebel group Al-Shabaab is in charge. And by the look of the children arriving every day at the camps in Mogadishu, the help will need to come fast if many precarious young lives are going to be saved.
The BBC's East Africa correspondent Will Ross, reporting from Somalia's capital city of Mogadishu. As you just heard him talking about, the humanitarian mission would be difficult enough on its own, but it's complicated further by the involvement of al-Shabaab, the Islamic militant group that has ties to al-Qaeda. Somalia's al-Shabaab Islamists deny that they lifted their ban on Western aid agencies. And further, they say UN reports of famine are, quote, sheer propaganda. Joining us now from Bethesda, Maryland, Sam Worthington, president and CEO of Interaction, the largest alliance of U.S.-based international aid organizations. Sam, are there any aid organizations that can get aid into Somalia despite the threats of al-Shabaab?
We have about 25 members operating in Somalia and then of Ethiopia, Kenya, the broader region. So there is an ability to get aid in, and many of them have been working for quite some time. That said, about 61% of Somalia is still relatively inaccessible. So we have, unfortunately, a catastrophe unfolding that where we have difficult access.
Well, so, of course, tens of thousands of Somalis are actually trying to flee towards the borders to reach refugee camps in Ethiopia and Kenya. When they reach those refugee camps, though, as I understand, Sam Worthington, there still may not be enough food for all of them.
We're ramping up this emergency, and I think our challenge here is we now have a full-scale famine. It's not a word we use lightly. It is really a catastrophe. It's when you move beyond a crisis or emergency in terms of food security, and we're seeing that half of the Somali arrivals into Ethiopia are now acutely malnourished. So we're working with the UN. Different aid agencies are standing up there, but the world needs to wake up that we do have a catastrophe in the Horn of Africa, and the resources need to pour in.
And Oxfam actually said several rich governments are guilty of willful neglect, and there's an $800 million shortfall in aid. Is the United States guilty of willful neglect at this point?
I think the United States has been providing about half the aid going into the region. It has been at this for about the past several years and had an early warning system that helped get us where we are now. I think the scale of the emergency, because of the difficult security environment and access, has been ramping up faster than expected, and the nature of the drought. I think at this point in time, nations do need to step up. Our other challenge is that the general public also needs to give. And unfortunately, there are no cameras at the heart of this famine. And only now are we getting these tremendously difficult and moving stories from people passing into camps across the border.
And there's tremendously difficult photos as well coming out of Somalia. Sam Worthington is president and CEO of Interaction, which is the largest alliance of U.S.-based international aid organizations. Got a number of employees working in the Horn of Africa now. And the website is www.interaction.org.